Let's take our Bibles this morning and open up to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. As you find your place there, please stand out in respect to the Word of God as we read just the first three verses this morning. Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us as we spend just a few moments in it this morning. Father, may your Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts and in our minds for the glory of God. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we approach chapter 4, we, of course, have to remember what has transpired back in chapter 3 when we're convinced of sin, for all have sinned, in verse 23, and come short of the glory of God. And he transitions from there to the place of the law, that the law cannot save any. And so then the question comes up, in a Jewish mind anyway, what about Abraham? And that's what verse number 1 is. They're asking that question. What shall we say then that Abraham our father hath found? Now, pertaining to the flesh, that of course would be a reference to him speaking to the Jewish people at this point. Abraham is quite an interesting study. If you study his life, he grew up in an idolatrous culture, in Ur of the Chaldees, and for some reason God appeared to him and called him, and we're going to go back to chapter 12 of Genesis in just a little while, but called him to leave it all and to follow the Lord, based on nothing more than a promise. And so the question still remains, what hath Abraham found? In verse number 2, he says, if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before God. Abraham was an incredible man of obedience to God. If God came to you tonight and said, I want you to take your child, whether it be a son or a daughter, and I want you to take them out to the mountaintop, and I want you to sacrifice them to me. And you understood what sacrifice meant, that it meant the death of the one being sacrificed. What would your response be? You knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that this is God speaking, God in heaven. What thoughts would go through your mind? We would think, well, God is awfully cruel to ask this of me. We would come up with all kinds of arguments trying to explain away why we don't have to do what God has clearly commanded us to do. But not Abraham. Abraham unquestioningly, an entire faith and dependence on God, got up early. If that was me, and I intended to obey, man, I would have slept in. In fact, I probably would have gone over to Isaac's bedroom and kind of laid down next to him and spent a little quality time with him. Then when it was time to finally get up about 1, 2 in the afternoon, said, come on, son, we got a trip we got to make. If I was going to be obedient and I was in Abraham's shoes, I would have drug it out. But Abraham is a picture of perfect obedience. And so if a man is justified by works, Abraham could stand up before us all and say, look, I did things you guys would never even dream of doing. That's how obedient to God I was. And so I'm far better than you. He would have had right to brag, but again, the qualifier at the end of the verse, because he fell short of the glory of God. The verse I really want to focus in on is verse number 3, because we're dealing with the question, what did Abraham find? Here's what he found. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. There's three things that we have here. We have, first of all, the Word of God. Now, we say the Scriptures because we can look back, and we will. In fact, why don't you go ahead and make your way there now to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. We have it recorded for us as Scripture. The Holy Spirit inspiring Moses to pen these words to record this historical event that really did take place long ago as God appeared to Abram, who would later become Abraham. And in verse number 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." That's all Abraham had. Now, it goes on a little bit further, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. But that's what Abraham had. He had nothing but the word of God. But Abraham was willing to just simply believe it. He was willing to accept it. He was willing to recognize it for what it was, that it wasn't just the words of man and that it wasn't just subject to interpretation and that it could be taken any way he wanted to take it. He understood that thus saith the Lord, and therefore it had authority in his life, and therefore it had truth behind it, and even though all men might reject it and all men might deny it, the truth is always the truth, even if no one ever believes it. Now, there's three questions in regards to the scripture and life that man always asks. Well, the scripture answers these questions that man has always asked. The first of those questions is, where did man come from? We want to know where we came from. Genealogy is a big thing. How many of you had your DNA tested to see about ancestors? We had a lot of fun getting my mom to do it. My mom was adopted. It was a closed adoption. None of the details were given out. And my mom always wanted to know where she was come from. But by the time they came around with the DNA test, my mom's mind wasn't working as well as it once was. And my wife had to do some things to prepare her to go to the doctor. And she just made inside her mouth, one of those things. We send it in and kind of know general idea where she's from. But a lot of people are interested in our ancestry because we want to know where we came from. We want to know what's back in our past. What has created us to become who we are today? That's a question that has always been in the mind of man since God created us. Of course, Adam and Eve knew where they came from. And that answers the question for us as well. We came as descendants of Adam and Eve, who were directly created from God. The only two people who had no earthly mother or father. Now the question is, because so many reject that today and so many say that we came from a blob of goo on some distant past billions and billions of years ago. Well, for man's evolution, yeah, they say billions and billions of years to try to make it sound plausible. Did we really come from a mud puddle, or did we come from direct creation of God? It depends on how we approach the scriptures. Is this the very word of God? You see, Abraham, what he had was he had the word of God. You and I have the word of God as well. Will we give it its place of authority in our lives? Will we believe it as truth? Or is it just a bunch of fables and fairy tales, just things that are said to make us feel more comfortable and to make us feel good when we feel bad? For Abraham, God's word was the final answer, because it is truth. That's the first question man has always asked. Where did I come from? The second question man has always asked, why am I here? What am I doing here? Our young people today are floundering in their lives and have no clue what they're supposed to be doing and what their purpose is. And so they see no relevance to anything. And so they're doing things that are damaging their body, because their mentality is, I'm going to have all the fun I can. Fun. I was in that lifestyle. I can guarantee you it doesn't stay fun. It starts out as fun, but it doesn't stay fun. It becomes miserable. But they're going to grab everything they can grab as quickly as they can, and they don't care if they die at 22 or 25 or 30. They don't care, because they don't have any other purpose in life, because the word of God has not been presented to them. They're lacking what Abraham had and what you and I have, the word of God, the scriptures that tell us why we're here. The last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes tells us why we're here. To glorify God and obey His commandments. That's our whole duty in life.
It sounds simple. It sounds short and sweet, but it involves our entire being, our body and our mind and everything we have. It involves a lifetime trying to perfect and try to deny the flesh and deny the world and to just simply live for God. It's quite a challenging task when we really get into it and try to devote our lives to just simply glorifying God and obeying all His commands. But it's the Word of God and it's truth and it has authority. And that tells us that's why we're here. And so we're to commit our lives to that and realize that there's something out there bigger than us. His name is Jesus. And He sits on the throne of the universe. And He demands the right to your life because He purchased you with His blood. Why am I here? Abraham had the scriptures. He found out the answer to that and he lived his life accordingly. The third great question, the first is where did I come from? The second is what am I doing here? What's that third one? Where am I going? Man has always wondered what's after death. Today, the humanists and the evolutionists say nothing. You just simply die and that's the end of it. They believe the lie of the devil. They had the word of God and the word of the devil, and they chose the word of the devil who says there's nothing left after that. You might as well go for the gusto now, and you might as well live for whatever you can, and who cares about anything else or anybody else? You just live for yourself. And that's the way to find happiness. And lives are being broken and families torn apart. People killing themselves because they don't understand there is a life after. There's two choices all can make, isn't there? Because there really is a heaven to gain. That's the most wonderful place that you can imagine. In fact, you can't even imagine heaven in all of its wonder. In the book of Revelation, God describes it in some detail, and yet as we try to comprehend that, just the dimensions of the city, a city that's a cube, some believe it's a pyramid, I believe it to be a cube, that's 1,400 miles every direction. 1,400 miles is a long way. My wife and I are trying to move closer to the church because we live 9.5 miles away. That seems forever in Detroit traffic. But I can't imagine 1,400 miles. We just drove about almost 400 miles to our daughter's house last weekend. Add another 1,000 to that. That's a long trip. The city is 1,400 miles from this side to that side. But it's 1,400 miles from this side to that side. And it's 1,400 more miles from the top to... from the bottom to the top, I'll get that right. That's a big place. And in that city are mansions. Now, I've driven through some affluent neighborhoods and big houses. Some of them would qualify as mansions. But I've never been in a city that's nothing but mansions. That'll blow your mind. I've never seen a city with foundations, where the foundations are made of precious stone. And so that when the glory of God, which is brightness of His light, is shining on it, it's just reflecting in this amazing beauty. I can't comprehend what heaven will be like. But you see, I have the scripture. The scripture assures me that heaven is there to gain. We know only through the blood of Christ, His finished work on Calvary, putting our faith in that sacrifice for our sin. We know that heaven can be ours and gained in that way and that way only, that I cannot purchase my way there. I cannot work my way there. I cannot be religious enough to find my way there. Only by faith in Christ and Christ alone. We know that. And heaven is real. And I can't wait to sit down by that pure water of the river of life, reach up and pluck one of those fruit off that tree of life that is there beside the river and just enjoy my rest. Over the years as pastor, I've heard a lot of Christians, and I mean dedicated Christians, that have complained about being weary. and tired. My response is always the same. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be. Because we're balancing a career, a family, and church, where the rest of the world's only balancing two, and some only one. We're supposed to be tired, but we've got a rest coming. And that rest will be glorious. Abraham knew that because he had the scripture, the word of God, just as we do. But you know, just as there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. Hell is a real place. It's not just a cuss word. It is only a cuss word because it is a real place. If I said, where's a good resort town? Myrtle Beach. We'll just use that. If I got mad at you and I said, go to Myrtle Beach, what would you think? You'd think, man, this guy's got a screw loose. Well, I may have a screw loose, but that would just prove it, wouldn't it? It'd be meaningless. And that's why the word hell became a cuss word. Because the worst imaginable thing you can imagine or wish on that person. But you know, we can't imagine. Just as we can't imagine how glorious heaven is, we can't imagine how horrible hell is. It's a real place. Abraham had the word of God. The word of God said, I want you to go this way. It's interesting that that's all he had, but he went that way. But we have the word of God that tells us you can go to heaven if you'll receive my son as your savior, but if you don't, you'll wind up in hell. And God tells us what it's like, the fire and the flame and the heat and the thirst and the weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a horrible place. But you see, the word of God tells us where we came from. Direct creation of God made in his image tells us our purpose on life. What we're doing here is to glorify God and to keep his commandments. And it tells us where we're going. If we're saved, we know where we're going. We know we're on our way to heaven. Nothing can change that. But if we're not saved, it also tells us where we're going in hopes that we'll change our destination by accepting Christ as our Savior. And so the first thing we found, now stay in Genesis 12, I assume you're still there, but the first thing we found that Abraham found in Romans chapter 4, verse number 3, is that he found the Word of God. Secondly, we find Abraham believed. Abraham believed. And this is where we come to chapter 12. Let's look at what he believed. We already read verse number 1, where he was told to leave home and family. Everything familiar. Don't you just love to move to new places you've never been to before? Probably not. Sometimes men are a little, well, sometimes men are always different than women. Men, sometimes we'd see that as an adventure. But as I just said, God only told Abraham, go that way. He didn't give him any directions. Look at the end of verse number 1 here in Genesis 12. He says, unto a land that I will show thee. I'm not telling you now. You don't need to know. All you need to do is go where I say. Well, Abraham believed that, and he followed. In verse number 2, we see not only did he believe that he was to leave home and family, but he trusted against impossible odds. I don't know if we always catch it from this passage of Scripture here, but God promises Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. How many children did Abraham have? Well, he didn't have any children, not at this point. And he wasn't a young man anymore. And God says, I'm going to take and make a great nation of you. In other words, you're going to have so many descendants that you're not going to be called a family or a tribe. You're going to be called a nation. And we know that is exactly what happened because of the nation of Israel. And they're still in the land today because God made this promise. And this promise is irreversible. And this promise will never go away because God's word is truth. But Abraham, as God said, believed against impossible odds because he was getting old. He was 100 before he had his first. We just hope to make 100. A lot of people don't even hope for 100 because they've seen people at 100 and say, I don't want to necessarily be like that. All Abraham could do was believe. And he did because he had the word of God. And then there's a third thing he believed here in this passage in Genesis chapter 12. He says, in verse number 3, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In that we see the messianic promise. I believe Abraham understood that. Abraham believed that the Messiah would come through him, the seed of the woman that Adam had been told of, Adam and Eve, back on the judgment in Genesis 3:15. I believe that was passed down just as the sacrificial system was passed down, given to Adam and Eve by God when he slew the animals, prepared for them their coats of skins. The sacrificial system for the atonement for sin was then passed down from Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel. Cain rejected it, came up with his own sacrificial system of works. But Abel passed it on down, and down the line it went all the way, I believe, to Abraham, pointing to a coming Messiah, the seed of the woman. And Abraham finds out it's going to be one of his descendants. And Abraham believed. Abraham believed. And then back in Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, verse number 3, what has Abraham found? For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I see Abraham rewarded. Abraham just simply had the word of God, believed it, and God didn't leave him hanging. God rewarded him for his belief with righteousness. Righteousness has always come through faith, not of works. And that was the conclusion of Romans chapter 3. And so when God wrote this through the Apostle Paul, there were no chapter divisions. And so the thought is just continuing that salvation or redemption is by faith and not by works. And yet so many miss it today. All the Jews would look back to Abraham as their father. And so God asked the question, what did Abraham find? Abraham found that God recognizes and rewards faith, not works, when it comes to salvation. So how about you this morning? Have you found what Abraham found, the Scriptures to be true, simply believing what God promised and exercising faith in His Son, Jesus Christ? If not, why not? We talked about your choice of eternal destinations. There's only two, heaven or hell. Heaven can be yours if you'll just do what Abraham did and believe the promises of God. If you have trusted Him, rejoice that God is faithful. Father, we're thankful for Your Word. Thankful that You tell us that salvation is by faith, apart from works. Lord, we're so glad You did it this way because we all realize we would fall short because of the sin of our hearts, the total depravity of man, unable to do right, to choose right. Thank You for doing what was necessary. Father, may our hearts be overfilling with joy this morning at what You did and what You'll give us as a result of our faith. And Father, if there be even one here this morning without Christ, we pray that during the invitation song, they might have the courage to step out of their seat and allow us to show them the promise of salvation from Your Word, that they might trust You today. Well, thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.